Together this morning, in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In 1992, British farmer Peter Watling suffered a terrible tragedy. He lost his favorite hammer. Certainly he had it when he was doing some work in an overgrown part of his field the day before. Watling called his neighbor, who he knew had a metal detector. The two men set out on a hunt for the missing hammer. Before long, the metal detector alerted the men to something nearby, but after searching through the weeds, there was no sign of the hammer. Curious, they got a shovel and got to digging. What they unearthed was a buried hoard of gold coins, put there 1,500 years earlier by Romans fleeing Britain during the anarchy surrounding the collapse of the Roman Empire. While the gold, along with Watling's later discovered hammer, would eventually be sent to a museum for safekeeping, the British government did send the men a finder's fee of just under $5 million, giving a hint at the treasure's value. Sometimes, the most valuable treasures are found in the most unexpected places, and when they are least being looked for. In our reading for this morning from the book of Acts, we heard of a Christian being discovered in no less unlikely of a place, and with no more intention of being found than Watling's gold, giving us a picture of how faith is uncovered in our own day. Our reading comes from fairly early in the life of the church, after Christ's ascension and the gift of the Spirit at Pentecost, but before the gospel had spread much beyond the walls of Jerusalem. Though Christ had commanded his followers to proclaim the word in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth, they were still not quite sure how to do that or what it would look like. And so began their ministry close to home, among fellow Jews. This ministry was seeing success, as Acts tells us that new believers were being added to the church daily, some of whom enthusiastically joined the apostles in sharing what Christ had done and achieved on the cross. One of these new leaders in the church was St. Philip, who we met in our reading this morning. St. Philip the Evangelist, not to be confused with the similarly named St. Philip the Apostle, was originally called to minister to Greek-speaking widows and orphans in Jerusalem. Unfortunately, this mission was disrupted by the Jewish authorities' aggressive persecution of the church, which drove many Christians out of the city. Making the best of a bad situation, St. Philip settled in Samaria, where he began proclaiming the gospel to the locals. While many Christians at the time, being former Jews, would not have dreamed of speaking to Samaritans, considering them unclean and unloved by God, St. Philip saw in these people potential sheep for the shepherd's flock, and was rewarded by God with an abundant harvest. Despite the success St. Philip was having in Samaria, one day, as we heard this morning, an angel came to call him away from that mission and instead go to the road between Jerusalem and Gaza. Though that was, as we are told, a desert and deserted place, St. Philip obeyed, saying goodbye to the Samaritans and going out into the wilderness. There he came across an Ethiopian eunuch, traveling home in his chariot from a visit to Jerusalem. Overhearing the man reading aloud from the prophet Isaiah, St. Philip ran to catch up with the chariot, where he struck up a conversation with the Ethiopian. As the two men talked about Isaiah, St. Philip began to teach, explaining how Christ both fulfilled the scriptures and answered every question the man had ever had about the meaning of the prophets. Overjoyed as the scriptures were opened to him, the Ethiopian asks to be baptized, receiving in faith the words which St. Philip had offered, and going on, according to tradition, to establish the first Christian congregation in Ethiopia. This is a story of encouragement, of the power of the word, of the unstoppable growth of the church in the first generation after the resurrection that we see throughout the book of Acts. But for us here today, it can also be a somewhat frustrating story. We all share with St. Philip the call to go and make disciples, a call that we have embraced as our congregation's mission statement. And yet, this story can make carrying out that call seem far easier than our expectations and experience would suggest. Where are Ethiopians, we might ask? Where are people just dropped into our laps who are so eager to hear the gospel? What are we supposed to do when no angels call us up and direct us to a person wondering out loud what Scripture means? What can St. Philip teach us this morning when his story seems too easy, too good to be true, at least in the world as we see it today? To understand what God continues to teach us through this story, let us look again at the characters in our reading, starting with the Ethiopian man who stands at the heart of it all. Despite never being given a name in Scripture, we surprisingly know quite a bit about this seemingly random traveler. The first thing is we are told that he was the chief treasurer of the Ethiopian royal house. As such, all money in the kingdom flowed through him, affording him a great deal of power and wealth in the process. This position of great importance also explains why he was a eunuch. The second detail about this man St. Luke offers us. While strange sounding to us today, castration was common in some ancient pagan societies for high-ranking officials, due to the belief that a man incapable of having a family would be more dedicated to his monarch. All of these details add up to showing us not just another face on a dusty road, but a man who is used to being in control, used to being respected, used to being honored. But for all his wealth and status, neither his office nor the fact that he was a eunuch was the most noteworthy thing about him. Rather, it was that he served the true God instead of the pagan gods worshipped by most of his countrymen. This is evidenced both by his fascination with Isaiah, as well as St. Luke's explanation that the reason the man was visiting Jerusalem in the first place was to worship the Lord. While it is possible that this man was a Jewish exile who made his way to Ethiopia, it's far more likely that he was born a Gentile, for it was forbidden for any Jew to become a eunuch. In fact, his mutilation meant that he was considered by Jewish law to be permanently unclean, and that he went to Jerusalem with the full knowledge that he would not even be permitted on the temple grounds to offer sacrifices. But so strong was his faith, a faith which was planted long before our story today began, that he desired to offer his worship all the same, even if he knew that he would be shunned and kept away from God's house. Such is the picture that we are given of the man St. Philip came across and taught this morning. Despite coming from a people and a nation who knew nothing of God or his promises, despite being rejected by those who should have been encouraging him in the service of the Lord, the Ethiopian eunuch had not abandoned his faith, nor the God whom he had come to trust. While, as he admitted to St. Philip this morning, there was much about God he did not understand, While there's much about his faith that was missing or inadequate because he had no one to help guide or interpret for him, the hunger for the truth and the knowledge of God ran deep in this man's heart. This was a man who, while no follower of Christ, was not a disciple due to his ignorance, not out of a hatred for the truth of God's word. His heart, then, was fertile soil, ready for the seed of the gospel to be sown by one such as Saint Philip. Of course, for most of our reading, Saint Philip knew none of this. When Saint Philip left Samaria, he was given no instructions from the angel as to what he was to do. All he was told was to go to a particular road. Considering how desolate that stretch of highway was, he likely did not expect to meet a single soul once he got there. Nor, once he noticed the Ethiopian on the road ahead of him, did God give St. Philip any explicit guidance on what was going on, telling St. Philip only to run and meet the chariot. At no time, or at least not until he had reflected on this encounter days or weeks later, did St. Philip have any reason to understand that God had sent him to this remote place specifically to meet this one man. A man who St. Philip could not possibly have known had a deep longing for the gospel. St. Philip was, for this entire reading, simply following God, but unsure what his following would lead. If St. Philip's situation sounds familiar, it is because we too often find ourselves unsure of what exactly it is God is doing with us and through us, both generally or more specifically in the service of his kingdom. Most of us do not often, if ever, receive angelic visits, instructing us to go to a particular place, to do a particular thing at a particular time, and to achieve a particular outcome for the glory of God. Rather, we are more often guided by the silent hand of prayer and the Spirit, leading us, like St. Philip, onto the dusty wilderness roads of our own lives, not entirely sure how or why we got there, let alone what God wants for us now that we are there. Like St. Philip, we spend most of the time completely unaware of what turn our lives will take next, neither expecting nor necessarily even looking for the opportunity to act as Christ's hands or feet in the world. And we do meet our fellow travelers on the roads of our lives. We, like St. Philip, often have no more idea of what God is doing in their lives than we know in our own. And yet, as we saw this morning, it is precisely in these moments when we are most confused, in these moments when we are least ready for the chance to live out our callings, that we find ourselves most presented with an opportunity to be faithful. St. Philip did not leave Samaria expecting to come face to face with a Gentile from the other side of the known world who loved Scripture and who desired to know the truth of Christ. Nor, for that matter, did the Ethiopian depart Jerusalem expecting to meet a Jew in the middle of nowhere who would not only be willing to speak to him, but who carried the key to everything that he had been searching for. Nothing in our story today was consciously planned out by St. Philip or the Ethiopian eunuch to promote the gospel or to glorify God. That's exactly what happened. This is because while St. Philip and the Ethiopian might not have known or expected what was about to happen, God did. God had spent years silently making this day possible, even if the characters of our story did not realize it at the time. He had planted the seeds of faith in the heart of the Ethiopian when the man first heard about the Lord days, months, even years earlier. He had equipped St. Philip not only with the gospel, but with a heart to serve those whom the average Israelite would have ignored. And he brought these two very different men together, almost as if by chance, on a desert road in the middle of nowhere, at the precise time the Ethiopian was reading scripture aloud to provide the opening for St. Philip to speak with him. While it is so obvious to us looking at their story years later how much Christ did to call the Ethiopian to himself, how much he had planned for St. Philip to aid him in that work, for St. Philip and the eunuch, they were just going through their lives, unaware that anything special was happening, but just seeking to be faithful. For us, this provides a powerful hope. A hope that even when it feels like we have no idea where we are supposed to turn, which way we are supposed to go, how it is that we are to faithfully live out our calling to gather the nations into the church, that God is still at work. We have no idea what hearts God is at this very moment cracking open, so that the words and actions of us here today might bear a true testimony to the work of Christ. We have no idea what hearts and lives are being subtly steered into a collision course with our own, where we might, by the Spirit's power, offer the sparks which ignite the flames of faith. And in situations in which a door has been long closed, or the ground has long seemed barren, we cannot know what God is still doing to prepare those hearts to receive anew or to remember again the gospel, any more than St. Philip could have known why God told him to go to a desert road on the way to Gaza. But how, we might ask, are we to know when we have found ourselves in one of these moments that God has prepared us for? How are we to recognize what is going on and know what to say? How often, we might ask, will we get as obvious of a sign as St. Philip that something is going on when he saw a man alone in the middle of nowhere reading a scripture that directly related to Christ? How useful is St. Philip's story when so many of the details of what happened today are unlikely to play out in exactly that same way in our lives? The answer comes when we look not just to the outcome of today's story, but to how St. Philip approached his life. Despite having no idea that there was a person in the desert, let alone a person who would respond to the gospel, St. Philip trusted that God was guiding his steps. St. Philip went into the wilderness expecting nothing in particular, concerned only with living a life that was pleasing to God, that reflected God's love and mercy, that showed, to use St. Peter's words, the reason for the hope that was in him. St. Philip did not go out upset that God had not set before him a flashy and exciting way to serve him, but was trusting that if he clung to God in faith, if he sought to imitate Christ, that God would use him according to his perfect will to bring about more than St. Philip could ever imagine. We, too, are called not to work out everything for God, but to listen, to follow, to cling to him in faith. We cannot know when God will reveal to us a person that we have never met or a person whom we have known for decades, but has been guided by God to us for precisely that moment. We cannot know or plan for how, when, or where God will use us. All we can do, like St. Philip, is hold to Christ, to hear his word, to know him in prayer, to live lives reflecting the love and the hope and the perfection which Christ has first offered to us, not because we think we're doing something exciting, but because it is the way that we live every day. And we trust that when we come to that unexpected and unlooked for place along the road, when God points us to a fellow traveler and tells us to go to him, that God will continue to guide us in those conversations and in bringing that person to the truth, just as much as he guided our feet every step up until that point. Amen.